Hello, listeners. It's Jose, a.k.a. The Region Nerd, and we're recording in the lovely studios of Lakeshore Public Media to bring you the latest discussion on everything pop culture, from Comic-Cons to drag shows, horror movies to hip-hop, and everything in between. Take a break from politics and hang out with us right here on Region Nerd Alert. Hip-hop, jazz, rap, and soul music have been evolving since their conception. But now as we near 20 years past Y2K, we've come to a new genre known almost exclusively to the cyber world of the internet. Lo-fi music, chill study beats, lo-fi hip-hop, DIY music, all describe this new wave of becoming, exactly as the name suggests, a bedroom producer. We discuss the short history and the perceived longevity of this internet art form on this week's Region Nerd Alert.
I am sitting here with my good friend, who usually joins me on this podcast as Skylar, but today he will be here as one of my honored guests who I'm going to interview a little bit, and he will help explain the basically the lo-fi hip-hop phenomenon of the internet, as you heard in the title. And his go-by name is Olatho. How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Today I have you. You're usually as a very close friend of mine, but it's no different right now.
Today's sworn enemies.
Sworn enemies. Strictly professional. But I want to bring you in because you're a pretty great producer that I know, and also dear friend that I've known for many years and have supported me in my many endeavors, so I just wanted to give you your just dues there.
I hate when you gas me up as a great producer.
Fantastic. As we shall see here tonight, and the listeners shall hear here tonight.
Hear, hear.
But, so do you want to give us a brief backstory on your music influences, music you like to listen to, where it all began?
So right around, I think, like 13 was when I started like really getting into music, playing music. I started practicing the guitar right around then. The biggest thing I think that made me actually want to do music was seeing my older brother play at like a county fair somewhere in like Couts.
Oh,
or
wow.
Something like.
Was he in a band or?
Years and years ago. Yeah. 16 Penny was the name of the band.
Wow. I never knew this. And, as Joey the Friend, I never knew this.
Oh, man. Yeah, I got to show you the CD one time.
What was
time.
His name? The 16 Penny?
16 Penny.
Wow. And what genre of music was that?
It was like super, like, I don't want to use the word grunge, but like it had like a very almost like STP kind of feel to it in a way. Like.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It definitely fit that 90s era that it was in. It was super 90s. Everything about it was 90s.
That's awesome. Do they have any like recordings? I would love to listen.
They did make one CD, Galvanized, and it was like, you know, nine songs, something like that.
Dang. Is a CD at your house and your
there's somewhere in the
junkyard.
Somewhere in the files is a 16 Penny CD. I actually have one of their shirts too.
Dang.
It's the most simple thing ever. It just says 16 Penny, and it's a literal penny.
That's pretty cool.
On the shirt.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. But so you said you were 13, and your brother was a big influencer getting you into music.
Like one of the best – it was really embarrassing too, but like one of the coolest feelings ever was at that fair that they were playing at. I was standing in the front row just like – whatever 8-year-olds do, or however old I was, 7-year-olds do at like
picking your nose
concerts. Yeah, picking my nose. I remember explplicitly that I had a Scooby-Doo sweater on with 3 different faces of Scooby-Doo.
At the fair?
At the fair. And one of his friends who he eventually like moved out to California with was like the singer, and he was like telling me to come up on stage, and he like put this guitar around my neck, which hung down to my ankles basically, and I pretended like I was playing.
Dang.
While they played a song.
That's awesome.
And like everyone was all like, you know, clapping and happy, and I was just like, oh.
And your brother, he's the one like the pictures I've seen, the bass guitar, right?
Yeah, he is the bass bass. He is the one that handed down the bass bass to me.
Do you want
to
explain this bass bass?
So it's a P bass from 90s, early 90s, probably mid 90s, something like that. it's not an American made, so it's not like super expensive or whatever, but the sentimental value for this guitar, like if my house burnt down, like I'm grabbing the bass and like
nothing else.
I don't know about anything else. Like, the bass is the thing I'm grabbing. And it's like starting to crack away, like the finish is like getting down to the wood and everything.
The worn look.
It's super worn, and then there's this gigantic reflective sticker of a bass in the bottom corner of it.
Do you know who decided to put that on? Or
oh, it was 100% Justin.
Really?
I'm so surprised that that sticker is like not faded.
Not gonna lie, that sticker looks still brand new, holographic as ever.
Super holographic.
And it's a big old like largemouth bass too.
Huge, reflective, and like pristine.
That kills me.
Absolutely but, pristine.
So fast forward a little bit. When did you start writing music?
That was like right around, what was it, 2011, 2012, when you hit me with that phone call like, hey, we have a band.
Ah, yes. Well, basically in 2011, 2012, someone called me. I don't know if any of you have ever watched Scott Pilgrim, but it's basically the same story of how he got his first gig. I think someone from Warped Tour called me. It's not like anybody, like, we didn't play Warped Tour or anything or tour.
Yeah.
But it was like this big, like, high school bands and, like, local bands and just a bunch of people congregated at the Congress Theater. And they're like, either you or someone put your name down. Do you know anyone that has a band that would like to perform in this? And at the time, I did not have a band. I didn't have any songs for a band. Like, I was writing some stuff, but then... Yeah, I was like, I have a band.
And then, a matter of fact, I do.
And then from there, I called Skylar and then our friend Joel. And you want to be drummer? And then Skylar, you want to be bass? And the rest is history.
Man, we slapped together those songs like so quickly.
Like 5 songs in a month.
Made the songs in a month and then practiced them for like 5.
Mm-hmm. And then it all came together.
Well, I think your face came out at the very end.
Oh, the song Your Face.
Yeah, the song Your Face.
I'm glad we're not playing any of that tonight. But
that's true lo-fi. That horrible audio recording.
That was terrible audio. Piercing lo-fi. Turning around to that, so what made you basically produce beats? Like... What software did you start with? What influences basically turned your genre from like rock? Because our band was like kind of like rock, you know.
Oh, like we were totally like Chevelle-esque.
Yeah, heavy metal, metal genre, hard rock, Chevelle, Deftones.
Like even like someone that I worked with at the time, they're like, oh yeah, this like reminds me of Incubus. And I was like, whoa, that's like really cool. Like,
I remember that. I was like, yeah, man, that's
that's a big compliment, yeah.
So what made you like, you know, be okay to like start doing DIY stuff basically?
You know, I don't really know when it was that like it kind of like started to click for me, but I was like, you know what, like metal music is cool, but man, like I just don't want to be that angry all the time anymore.
That is true. Like they say, like it gets out your anger, but I don't know, there's a lot of positivity in metal music. This isn't about like metal or anything, but like there's something about, I don't know, one person writing or producing something that a lot of people don't understand, especially older people, because they're like, oh, you ain't playing no instruments, like you ain't got no talent. Like, no, have you ever heard of, go back to like Beck or Portishead, you know, basically Bowie had some like electronic stuff towards his
he had some like weird like synth stuff and low
and it's like, oh, these people are very much talented, but just because they don't play an instrument.
And
like,
they say that, like, oh, it's not an instrument, but, it, like, you're literally creating sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And
off just of computers.
Just because it's not, like, a stringed instrument that, like, orchestras play with, or, like, a guitar, a bass, drums. Mm-hmm. Like, people that, like, consider, like, your standard instrument for music. Like,
and we're definitely going to touch on that, but I love Kendrick Lamar. I forgot which song. I think it's ADHD. He talks about that, like a whole generation of it's going from analog to like digital, and this whole but still having those like core values or those nostalgic moments. Like he says, technology bumping soul. Like you, like everyone our age probably has those memories of sitting there with your older cousin or brother, like beating a old video game on their PlayStation while like their favorite music is like reverberating off the walls, and like that's all getting into your like young mind, and now we remember it and listen to it and make that music still. And I don't know, there's a certain nostalgic value that I don't think is ever going to go away, especially with like 90s kids, quote unquote 90s kids.
Yeah.
Like, not exactly millennials, but 90s kids.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess let's get into some of your music for the listeners.
All right.
Theory Grove by Olatho.
Groove.
Yes. Excuse me. There's a piece of lettuce in my mouth. But Theory Groove. Do you want to tell us, do you have any inspiration for it or the sample?
It's totally an interlude, and actually I don't think that I sampled anything on this one. Okay. So in that second little album, Hum Feeder, that I made, I did a little bit more of live bass. The first one was like straight nothing but electronics. And Theory Groove specifically, I wrote a nice little live bass too, because like it just fits so well. It's just, it's really groovy, and it definitely captures like the type of bass that I like to incorporate in music, like really like soulful. Like if you listen to old like R&B, like the way that those people like just play the bass, like the way that it fits in the music, it's so like...
It's more than just like a rhythm section.
It's more than a rhythm. Like it's got little drips of just like pure creativity that I love in there.
All right. So we're going to listen to Theory Groove by Olatho and then see you on the other side. That was Olatho with Theory Groove right here on Region Nerd Alert. Dude, that was pretty cool.
Thank you.
I got to say, it's really darn cool to hear it over like the studio speakers, because I know the way you produce, and also I produce the same way, because whatever, I won't talk about my music endeavors, but we don't have really decent audio, like speakers. Unless
I'm like forcing it through my my TV like surround sound deal, but like that hearing it in the studio, man, couldn't stop smiling.
Definitely slaps. Definitely slaps. But yeah. So with the whole lo-fi movement and the whole lo-fi hip hop, like we'll definitely get more into that later as well. Like I want to focus on you right now. But what are your thoughts on it? Like lo-fi hip hop in general.
I don't know. There's like something that I really love about it, and it's mainly like the nostalgia factor of hearing that like crackling audio, taking samples from old familiar songs, like a simple riff, and then kind of tweaking it, looping it.
I was going to say that's also a huge aspect of, well, hip hop in general is like sampling and resampling.
Yeah.
And sampling is basically just taking audio or taking like a certain like drum fill and then incorporating it into a beat. Like that's like in 90s hip hop, 80s like hip hop, like that's what was incorporated at first, like making drum kits off of different beats, like the dum 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 dum, like there's a bunch of famous samples, quote unquote, that are incorporated in so many songs in hip hop.
There's a and I can't think of the name of the song off the top of my head, but like a Childish Gambino song that takes a really old clip from like Earth, Wind, and Fire or something like that. I can't remember specifically if that's right or not. And then like Kanye West too.
I was just about to say Kanye West. Like say what you want about the man, but he is a very talented producer. Like he is five summers doing like 10 beats a day. I forgot the lyric off the top of my head, but five beats a day for three summers. That's a different word. Yeah, I think it's like three beats, whatever. But yeah, he's made so much music.
Insane and level of just like production. Taking samples and like literally taking something that was already made and making it something completely different, like where you almost can't even tell like where it came from. And like, he samples weird stuff.
It's like pure art. Like if you can like hear something or like watch something like with audio and be like, wow, did you hear that?
And automatically create something else from that.
And the person's like, hear what? And if you have the ability to like tear it apart, chop it and screw it and then present it as something else.
This is what I heard. Do you remember me asking you this? And then like playing something completely new.
It's a fantastic feeling.
Yeah.
And it's very cool to hear other people's like inspirations, like certain nostalgic movies, like 90s movies, 90s music, and just making it something else. Like you hear it in pop songs today. Like I've heard, what was that? I don't know, like got me lifted, shifted higher than the ceiling. Ooh, it's the, I heard that song. That I think that's from like the early 2000s. But Sugar, How'd You Get So Fly? Like that was redone in a pop song, like I think last year.
And that that new Chris Brown song that we always shake our heads at whenever it came on the radio when we were listening to it. Oh, I can't remember how the groove goes. Oh, it's really that's making me so angry right now. But that entire song is based off of a popular like R&B
older song
from the 90s.
And the thing is, like, that's what people are like doing, and that's what hip hop, like a lot of hip hop, is all about too. Like, is just like sampling, and people think, oh, that's not an instrument, oh, like that takes no skill. But I like to see some of these people like go in, chop it, and like you have to have like audio producing skills, not just musical talent or an ear for
patience
and a lot of patience,
because you're not just like taking a huge sample and like sampling a gigantic chunk. Like you're taking small bits and pieces, sometimes like 1 second of audio.
Right,
to use as an instrument.
So that kind of brings us this next song that I'm about to play by you. Is it I'm Forgetting All?
I'm Forgetting All.
Now, do you remember the sample that you used in this?
Oh, yeah. So this was when I was on my big Mystery Science Theater kick. And I watched Manos, The Hands of Fate.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about
that.
Oh, yeah. It even says here, sample taken from Manos, The Hands of Fate soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that's awesome. But, yeah, the fact that we'd be watching some old Mystery Science Theater and oh, man, that sounds really cool. I can make that into, like, a beat or, oh, I can make a whole song around that.
The entire song is based off of, like, the first 20 seconds of the song. Like, that's where the entire sample is taken, is from the first 20 seconds.
And then you chopped it up to, like, a five-minute song.
You chopped it up, yep.
All right, well, listeners, we'll see you on the other side. This is Olatho, I'm Forgetting All. Thank you. All right. That was Olatho. I'm Forgetting All right here on Region Nerd Alert. Region Nerd Alert in the lovely studios of Lakeshore Public Radio. So, yeah, that was a great song, man.
Thank you. It should have ended like four times before it actually did.
You were saying before, like, it's sort of like trapped in the closet, like R. Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
That you just didn't want it to end. And I definitely feel that way when I'm making some of, like, my beats and stuff. But also to the listeners out there, Olatho does my intro and outro for the podcast, too. So
that I do.
I humbly thank you for that.
I thank you for using it.
You are welcome. No, but... Yeah, do you have anything to plug right now?
Mainly, I guess, the YouTube, Subsolid Media. You can find mine as well as your music on there. It's kind of like a hub for all things that we do creative.
Cool, cool. And you could go to YouTube and type in, like, Subsolid Media and then Olatho, and then you'll find Olatho, or Subsolid Media, and then just look for the little purple picture, and then you will find us. But have some other stuff on there, too. But, yeah, that is that. And then you also have a SoundCloud, right?
SoundCloud, and, which is just Olatho.
Olatho. You type that in, and then that should be the first thing that pops up. Pretty unique name. Pretty unique name. But now that we've, you know, introduced you to one of the artists from basically that genre of, like, lo-fi music, let's delve into it a little bit. Back in 2004, 2005 in Japan, this show, specifically anime, which is a Japanese cartoon, Samurai Champloo aired. And even to take it back a little bit further, Cowboy Bebop, that's another...
Oh, the real folk blues.
That's another fantastic anime. And, well, basically, there's on Cartoon Network, Toonami. Is this, mm-hmm. You have, like, you know, your cartoons, your Dexter's Laboratory, and your...
I bet everyone that watched Toonami on the regular is a bedroom producer.
That's, for real, like, there's definitely a correlation there. Like, if you watch that, then you're probably, if not a bedroom producer, then you're probably a fan of, like, lo-fi hip-hop.
Oh, yeah.
Chill beats to study, too. But, but yeah, basically, yeah, I don't know. I don't got the date for Cowboy Bebop, but Samurai Champloo came out, and it didn't necessarily, like, make huge waves, because it aired on Toonami. I forgot when it aired on Toonami, but was it always on Toonami, or was it, like, on Spike or something?
No, you know what? It might have eventually come out on Spike, but I'm pretty sure Toonami was the main hub. And then I think for Cowboy Bebop, I think that was 98
in Japan, I think, is when it came out.
Yeah, it was Bebop.
Yeah, well, basically, Toonami was very, very ahead of its time because, you have your cartoons, your Dexter's Lab, Cartoon Network.
Ed, Edd, and Eddy.
Like
Billy and Mandy.
Billy and Mandy. Oh, man, that was great.
Code Lyoko.
Which is a French anime, but we'll have a whole episode on anime soon, hopefully. But I'm a weeb. But anyway. Toonami came a little bit later. Not exactly the Adult Swim, which is more cartoons of like a more mature variant.
Yeah, because initially Toonami came on from like 4 to 6,
right?
I think.
Oh, you know what? Samurai Champloo might have been on Adult Swim and not Toonami at first.
You're right, because they were two different entities.
Yeah,
because
it said
that
it aired on Toonami in 2016, and I'm like, that doesn't make sense. But I think it was on Adult Swim first.
Yeah.
Yes, Adult Swim and Toonami was basically your late night block of everything cartoons, and not exactly adult in the sense of like sex, violence specifically, you know, just more mature themes.
Yeah, a lot of fighting and conflict.
Family Guy was eventually made its way on there. Home movies, like all those like obscure cartoons.
Like Mobile Suit Gundam, was on Toonami for a long time.
But yeah, basically Toonami had Japanese cartoons, anime, and they had Cowboy Bebop, Samurai Champloo, and this stuck with a lot of people our age. Like, I'm a fan of anime, and basically the music that came with it.
Toonami got me so into the Gorillaz.
Oh, I forgot the Gorillaz.
And Daft Punk.
Man.
Toonami was the first time I ever heard One More Time, and I was like, what is this great music?
See, it was like very teenage, like, hip cartoons. Like, you have, like, all your cartoons, funny, nostalgic now. But, like, when you watch those, they are more, I don't know, the teenage, like the Teen Nick that came out. Like, I feel like that was piggybacking off of what Cartoon Network was doing with their more adult cartoons. Like, mind you, this is completely, like, we're not talking about the 90s cartoons where it was, like, free-for-all Ren and Stimpy style. Like,
oh, man, Ren and Stimpy's so adult.
Yeah, there was, like, some censored era, and then Toonami came out and Adult Swim. And that basically opened up the waters a little bit, but toned it down to a sense of more of an art form, I think. Because, like, they didn't have, like, they had your stupid shows on there, like your slapstick comedy. But then you had the anime, which was a little more serious, a little more artful, a little more, what's the word, like, new, like, N-U. Like,
there's something about, like, when I think about literally getting home from school when I was young and waiting for Toonami to come on so I could watch anime, like, brings a tear to my eye right now thinking about how good I felt.
It also brings a tear to my eye. Like, I think that was the first time I seen, what was it? Nope, it might have not been Toonami, but Spirited Away, I first seen on TV, and I didn't finish it. And, like, that was a childhood, like, disaster. Like, oh, man, I wish I could have finished that. But then I eventually finished it, obviously. But
that was one of the worst feelings when you saw, like, came in the middle of an episode to, like, an anime you'd never seen before. And you're like, what was the name? And you have nothing to go on.
But anyways, yeah, Samurai Champloo came out on Adult Swim, I believe. And it basically flipped. Well, it didn't even flip. Like, it was so ahead of its time. Like, I had no idea, like, watching those back then would have any influence on me right now. Like, I feel like all that, like, soaked into my brain, and that's inspired my music choices now, the things that I watch now, basically personality. Like, it created a lot of people's, like, parts of their personality. And
the intro alone was literally, like, a decade ahead of its time. Like,
definitely.
No one was really making anything like that back then, and it's really cool.
Like,
hear.
If you know what we're talking about, like, I'm sure you're also agreeing with us, like, yes.
You're,
like,
nodding your head.
The heyday of, like, Cartoon Network, Toonami was just fantastic. But, yeah, basically the music was just, it incorporated a lot of hip-hop, it incorporated a lot of jazz, incorporated a lot of black soul. Like, for some reason, Japan was cranking out these Japanese cartoons, anime, and incorporating all of this, like, 90s nostalgic hip-hop to it. And, like, that fusion
with a lot of Western influence, like,
Western,
super,
yeah,
super Western influence.
And the thing, like, the anime, like, coming out of, like, the 90s and the early 2000s combined with, like, this hip-hop soul music, like, just created this little cream that's, like, everywhere now. Like, even, like, Drake, I hear a lot of influences from, like, a lot of his stuff, like, in the lo-fi end. And I say lo-fi because you can describe lo-fi music as, like, back, or a lot of trip hop is in there too. But we're specifically talking about this internet trend of lo-fi music and hip-hop. And I guess the best way it is to show you, so New Jabs. I hoope I'm not. New Jabis.
I think it's New Jabs.
Is it New Jabs? Because I know Logic, he had a New Jabs song for his newest album.
Did he?
Yeah, and he rapped over it. And I think he pronounced it New Jabis, like, rapping over this New Jabis vibe. And I was like, I don't think that's how it's pronounced.
And maybe that was for the sake of the
sake
the
of
flow.
The sake of the flow, yeah. Also Naruto. Like, oh, yeah. I just thought of that because our friend, I won't say his name, just his first name or his first letter, K, he would always try to, like, tell us that we're mispronouncing Sasuke's name. And he's like, it's Sasuke. And then he would always, Naruto, like, that was also another pronunciation. But that's also, like, a, you know, a gap between the ocean there. But we're learning. We're learning a lot.
Slowly but surely.
We're not fluent, but we're learning. Anyways, New Jabs, he created the soundtrack of Samurai Champloo. And the history of New Jabs is he's just this DJ slash producer who basically pioneered the genre, in my opinion. And R.I.P., like he is passed now. But, man, like he has so much great content. And he mixes like Western influence and Pacific or Asian Eastern, like East Asian influence. And just combines it so well. And it has this like different vibe where it can be a brand new song. But it just has so much nostalgia in it because you hear those old samples and like you hear it now over these beats and like it's almost like a meditative state to some people, you know?
Like, it's like hearing something that's like mega vintage, but it's so crispy and like new and just, oh.
So basically, let me paint a picture. If you haven't experienced this, let me paint a picture for you. So you're there. You're like, what, 13, maybe 14, maybe 12. Like, you're sitting there, you're in front of your television, you just got done watching Dexter's Laboratory or Powerpuff Girls, and this cool robot comes in from space, and he's like, who is voiced by Steve Bloom, by the way?
I was going to say, it's Spike Spiegel, tells you directly.
He's also the voice of a lot of the voices of anime, but that's also another podcast. But, yeah, he basically comes to you and is like, hello, you have entered Toonami, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, man, this is cool. This is sci-fi. This is space. This is awesome. This is robots. And then you're just bombarded with just great music. And then you're watching, oh, Samurai Champloo. What is it? And this is going to be New Jab's Battle Cry. And this was the exact intro of Samurai Champloo. So imagine being a kid watching this cartoon looking thing and you're like
having no idea what this name is, never heard it before, and this is the first,
like, all of your senses are bombarded at once. Like, if you could lick the screen, like, you could remember the taste of your television at the time, because it just, something about it just sticks in your memory. So this is the opening thing to Samurai Champloo Battle Cry by New Jabs. That was New Jabs, Battle Cry, as heard on Samurai Champloo. Man, that makes me want to watch that whole series over
right now.
I just recently watched the whole thing, and it's crazy how, like, oh, okay, the ending's there, the beginning's there, but, like, it's something about that middle part, because that's where you always came in, like, watching the series. Like, oh, you could watch it, like, every night or every...
It's like they were always on the journey.
Yeah, they were always on the journey. It was never, like, the last episode. It was just... And there's something about that, too, that's like you're always – I know the show itself talks about that, like the journey being, like, you know, the most important. And then after your thing is done, like the goal was met, like you remember the journey. And honestly – sorry, I'm like sick as fuck.
Oh, no.
Sick as ball.
Sickly.
Yes. But anyways, yeah. So that basically spawned so many – what's the word, like, people to write music similar to that. Like, what, this came out on Adult Swim probably, like, what, 2000?
I don't know, 6 maybe?
2006, 2007.
2004, 2006, something like that.
And, yeah, it came out in Japan 2004, so it probably reached us, like, 2005, 2006. But, yeah, just, it spawned so many, not even, like, action figures either. Because you always see, like, oh, Power Rangers or basically the stuff of our time yielding a lot of toys. There's, like, no Samurai Samurai Champloo toys. There's no Cowboy Bebop toys. There's no – well, there's Gundam toys.
Oh, Gundam up the wazoo.
Gundam has always been toy there, them. I feel, yeah. But, yeah, it's just something about that era. And Adult Swim Toonami was, like, a big part of that. And, you know, we've seen it, like, before that, too, like, in Trip Hop. That's probably where New Jabs got a lot of his influence, is like the Portisheads and the Trickies, you know. Mm-hmm. And then it just spawned what he has, but then he attached it to like anime. And now in our brains, like you'll see, like if you look up lo-fi hip hop, I guarantee like all the searches are going to have an anime related image.
So many.
Like, and the thing is, and they're creating that now. Like it's not just Samurai Champloo, Cowboy Bebop, like. You're not just, oh, I'm associating that with that type of music. Every anime, you can find a sad, like, vaporwave type song over an anime, and that anime will stick in your memory like it does with, like, those old ones that did it. And it's not even their soundtrack. It's just...
Yeah, and even if it has nothing to do with that anime, like, no sample to that anime at all, like, people will stick an anime picture on it because it reminds them of anime.
Yeah, it's or, like, a certain scene, like, a sad scene in, like, an anime they've seen, and they just put, like, this lo-fi beat over it, and then it's instant nostalgia. It's almost like, I don't know, like, I remember us when we were children. I say children because we were doing some immature stuff. But, like, we were in your room watching, like, those old internet, like, Newgrounds videos and the ultimate, like, video games, like Metal Gear Awesome and stuff.
Oh, the Awesome series.
And, like, those I will always remember those. And I'm so glad, like, the internet has made it possible to revisit that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, I feel like we're going through this big, not necessarily, like, retro cycle, but... This has stayed here for a long time. Like, there's still people listening to the same music, and the internet has made it possible for them to never evolve out of their era, you know?
Yeah. You can stay there for a long, long time.
You can
time.
Go to Disc Replay, buy all your old games, you can play them forever. You can buy your old cassettes back and play them in a cassette deck. Even vinyl, like, well,
vinyl's huge.
Vinyl's huge right now, but basically, you don't have to, like, change. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for society as a whole.
Well, new people, too. Not new people. New artists are also, like, releasing things on vinyl. So you can get, like, a new outlet of music because vinyl is so big. But, like, you're paying a pretty price for it.
Yeah, like, and what? The people coming out nowadays are probably our age, right? Like Drake's.
If not even, like, younger,
like,
too.
Like,
know?
Around 30 or, like, our age or, like, younger. They're releasing these vinyl and cassette tapes, and it's because... You know, our generation loves that stuff, and they're going to keep it alive. More so than, like, 80s hair metal bands, like, what, you hear a song at a local watering hole.
That is one genre I cannot get behind, is hair metal.
I will say, like, I'll smile and nod, but I'm not gonna get groove to it.
Or what's unless you throw me a pair of spandex, I'm not getting into this.
I'm not gonna really get into it. But like even like the 90s, like you go to Chicago and like the local bars we go to in Chicago all the time, they have themed nights, and it's not just like 80s themed wacky tacky. It's like 90s hip hop, specific dance hall, like house music, like. There's
Japanese funk.
Like, it's not just this trend that's going to go away. Like, it's been here for a long time, and I feel like it's going to be here for even longer thanks to the internet. And also memes have some things to do with it, too. Like, it's...
I think there's a lot of anime culture in memes, too, though.
I don't know what it is. Like, you could be, like, 32 or 12, but... you guys connect on memes. Like, everyone just gets it of our, like, generation or whatever, and the younger generations, too. Like, you see, like, the older people. I'm not going to delve into memes right now, but specifically, let's talk about Joji. Like,
pink guy.
This man is, I'd say, he's crafted into the lo-fi universe, and he makes incredible, beautiful music, but he also has this alternate persona who is dead now, I believe, since his internet music career took off.
Yeah, I've not seen Pink Guy or Filthy Frank in a very long time.
Filthy Frank. It started off as this, like, meme-y YouTube channel doing disgusting things and talking about shock value stuff, and basically that transitioned and boosted his music career. And I'm not going to play any Pink Guy stuff. He does have a lot of stuff in Pink Guy, but yeah, he's definitely a great lo-fi artist. Like, I don't know. What do you think of Joji's progression and how you use, well, not necessarily Joji's progression, but like how he used the internet as a platform to boost himself?
That's what, like, really, like, I don't want to use the word like irks me, but it does irk me. Like, I'm being a hater at this very moment. I'm being a hater.
Me too. The like, fact that it grinds my gears that, like, these people can do the dumbest stuff. Like, oh, I'm going to jump off this building.
Get so many followers doing sick things in public because you have the gall to do it, right? Like, he dared to go up to a man and smack him in the face with an egg while his friend recorded, and, like, he took a punch to the face because of it. And, like, now he's got a million followers, and now he's used that platform. Like, okay, I've been Filthy Frank for long enough. Time to kick on the Joji. And then he starts coming out with music, and he's already got so many people that are, like, there to listen to it because he's already made his
I'm gonna play some Joji. Like, this is a man who has come from, like, telling stupid jokes and having this type of voice to do my stupid stuff to this, like, beautiful soul music. Here, I'm gonna play it for you right now because I just can't believe it. If it'll load. I would prefer not to say. All right, here we go. Joji, this is Can't Get Over You. That's Joji, Can't Get Over You. And that's fantastic music. And you can tell, like, the inspirations, like, it's soulful, you know? Like, it has those grooves, like, kind of jazzy, you know? Like, and to go from Pink Guy to that is, one, crazy. But also, like, he started solely on the internet. And basically anybody can do it now. Because of the internet. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
YouTube is such a good platform for, like, everybody.
It really is. Like, it sucks, like, the way they're, like, they're advertising things now, like their rules and regulations. Yeah. But as long as you can freely put stuff on there, you can make
and
money.
It's unlimited. Like, because, like, SoundCloud, you can do it for free, but you have 2 hours of width of audio that you can put on to SoundCloud, basically. And then you have to go pro. But YouTube, you could put as much.
Right, right. And let's talk about that a little bit. Like, the way we're getting these, like, you're not going to hear these on the radio. Like, unless it's some sort of like satellite specific radio station,
yeah, exactly.
You're not going to hear this on FM.
No, not even AM. No public radio.
No public radio. Not on NPR. And where are you going to find them? Like YouTube, SoundCloud, Bandcamp, Tumblr, Twitter. Like these musics are making the rounds, and they're not even getting airplay.
Not commercially like played. Yeah, exactly.
Right. And honestly, like nowadays, that's not even the end goal. Like. Oh, if I can make a mill off the internet, why would I want to go commercial ever? Why do I care if I'm getting on the Grammys, you know? Like
that's my end goal.
Grammys?
No, not Grammys. Oh. Like, give me a little bit of internet fame. Like,
oh, same.
A million hits on YouTube? Oh, man, I'll take it. Like, I'm not even like – it's not even for the money. It's just like – I don't know. I get in that weird slump where it's like, man, I just wish someone would listen to my stuff.
Well, now they are.
Oh, man.
They're going to be – hopefully this episode goes on the radio and then everyone will listen to your stuff also. But anyways, yeah, just to go over a couple more things I have on my notepad. There's also this – what's the word? Like the sadness that sort of accompanies lo-fi. And it's not just sadness either. Like it's just this melancholy, like monotonous sort of calm, I guess. Like not monotonous, like monotonous implies boring, but like, I don't know. There's so many, let me bring into light chill study lo-fi beats.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I believe you had a question earlier, like, what is the...
what is the connection between lo-fi beats and the form of studying? But I've been thinking about it a little myself, and they say that, like, classical music is something that's good to study too. And it's, I think it's mainly because there's no lyrics.
Hmm.
So it's really, you're just listening to instrumentals all the time. So, like, even though you're listening to it, you won't focus on it as much as hearing someone speak. Like lyric wise, you would listen to the words that they're saying, whereas music, you can kind of keep it in the background and hear it, what it has to offer without looking for like, okay, what are they actually saying?
Right. Cause a lot of lo-fi hip hop is instrumental. Like we've have been playing some stuff with lyrics to it, but I'm going to play some Evie pretty soon. And Evie is like one of my favorite lo-fi producers, other than Olfo, of course. But yeah, she like just encompasses the genre perfectly of what it is now. Like New Jab's like great production quality, just attached to the anime, perfect nostalgia. Like that was like the blueprints, and like Evie like just took it to what it is right now.
Who is that other? Lo-fi artist that we went to see like a month ago.
We went to see?
Yeah. Oh, I'm trying to remember the name of the place that we went to. It almost looked like that school. Like, I went across the street to grab that burger. It was like 1 a.m. It was right when...
Oh,
DJ
Boring?
DJ Boring.
DJ Boring is more of like the house music realm, but he definitely does make that like lo-fi sad music.
Mm-hmm.
Like he is more of like the dancey type. But, yeah, I will definitely consider him, like, incorporating that lo-fi-ness because he has a song, Winona, that's more dancey, but it's just very low frequency in general.
Yeah.
But it's almost like when you're – if you've – listeners out there, if you've ever been to a club or a bar, when you go into the bathroom, like, and you hear it from the bathroom.
That's one of the jokes about the lo-fi – oh, genres, like you got to take the recording and then record it from a crap amplifier in the bathroom.
In the bathroom, re-record it through the television, record it on a VHS player, and then re-record that, and put some reverb on it.
Put some reverb on it, and you got some lo-fi.
Then you got super lo-fi. God, that video cracks me up. But yeah, like it almost sounds like you're in the bathroom, you know, like... These beats are like...
Hearing it from another room in the same room.
Exactly. But, yeah, I'm going to play some Evie right now just so you can get the true lo-fi experience. Like, this is... you could probably get lower, but to me, like, this is, like, the lowest, fiest hip hop chill study beats you can get to. And this is one of my favorites.
As it is so below.
As it is so below. But yeah, this is Evie with Belas. Well, first, because of this ad, we were supposed to see Evie, I think, a couple weeks ago. But
yeah,
Avengers Endgame was out, and I did not want to read spoilers online. So I would totally be able to tell you the firsthand experience, but when we come out of this, I will tell you how these people are performing live, like taking it from the bedroom to your local club. But this is Evie, and this is Belas. Yeah, that was Evie with Belas. We were trying to figure out the language there, but I'm not sure. But even that one, as we spoke on it, like it had an anime background to it. Like it's all connected, man. Like
all encompassing,
all encompassing. But and yeah, we were going to talk about now these producers are coming to your local bar and stuff, maybe us one day, but soon.
The dream.
But they're basically taking like their 404s, which is just something that you can sample drum kits, and it's usually used for drum kits and samples like that, but they're like turning it to like play like these samples off of like just by pressing a button, you know,
a simple play.
And a lot of the time that's what the people see, the critics saying, oh, they're just pushing a button up there. Like, yeah, okay. Even if they're just pushing a button and just turning down like the frequency at certain parts, like,
but you still made that music. Like
watching the person that made it, and whatever they're doing up there, they're giving you a show, and you're listening to it at your favorite bar.
Because there's always some sweet visuals going on when you go to like any type of show. Like
it's definitely more than just the music. Like what Marilyn Manson, like I think he said before that he lip syncs a lot, only because it's not really about him singing. It's about the music itself and the visuals, and he's giving you a performance, you know?
Exactly.
I didn't go there to hear him talk like a, I don't know, I can't even think of Marilyn Manson right now, like creepy guy. But, and I love Marilyn Manson. I'm not like dissing him at all, but I'm just saying like, you know, there's more than just like raw singing, like, or else you'd go to like a bunch of these American Idol type shows like all the time. And those things are boring.
Yeah, there's something like
There's only so many times I can hear like Whitney Houston being sang or like Journey at like a
and
karaoke
like I love
bar.
Doing karaoke. Like that's an awesome thing, and like I totally give props to people that are like good at singing, but like there's something totally different than hearing the best karaoke singer possible and like just someone that makes their own music like
and performing. There's a difference between like really performing and then karaoke.
Because the most time you stand up there, you know, like you read the lyrics off and it's still fun and everything, but like you're not doing any kind of.
Right. You're not like performing up there. Like, yeah, no performance. Don't get me wrong. There are a lot of people who do karaoke and lip sync and they perform. Like there's people out there like that, but you're not going to see it at like your local Crown Point bar or whatever. Like you're going to see like, you know, just. Stan, who just got out of his union job, hold my Miller Lite. I'm going to go sing a prayer.
They're calling my name up there.
Yeah. Not to, like, you know, put anybody in any certain groups, but.
Right, I just like to do a hillbilly accent.
That's where we're from, in the region. There's a lot of that. But, yeah, like, there's a difference between performing and karaokeing, basically.
Yeah.
And just singing.
100%.
Rehashed stuff. And, yeah. You have anything else to say about this lo-fi? I feel like we definitely didn't touch on everything, but we got like a lot of the basics, how it's influenced, how anime has influenced like music, and how New Jabs was like a pioneer of this internet trend called lo-fi hip-hop, mm-hmm. and that like branched off and Simpson Wave.
I do wish that I knew more specifics on like how much of a song you can technically use before, like, you're stealing the song, you know?
Actually, to talk about that a little bit, Travis Scott is under a lot of fire.
Is he really?
Excuse me. Sorry. Very sick.
It was a lo-fi cough.
Lo-fi cough. But, Travis Scott, one of his songs, I forgot what it was called, but he says, instead of the F word, I'm going to say, jump the club up, jump the club up, jump the club up. And that's almost a I thought he was paying homage, but apparently I think it's 3-6 Mafia has a song called Jump the Club Up. Uh-huh. It's the exact thing, which that's why, because Travis Scott, he uses so many samples and like pays homages to so many
and
people.
And that's literally
there.
4 words, though, like.
Yeah, and I thought that's what he was doing, and he probably was, because that sounds way too similar to not
well,
be.
Well, that's
And I think it's just 3-6 Mafia guy just trying to get money.
And there's another artist recently, and I think it's A$AP Ferg, used basically the entire flow of a 3-6 Mafia song almost, and like one of the lines he was. Because he was doing the I can't remember what it's called, but there's a YouTube channel where you break down your song, basically.
Mm.
And he's breaking down his little verses and stuff, and then he gets to one part where he's literally reciting off a 3-6 Mafia verse, and he's like, oh, I had to keep that, like, that's so iconic, I had to keep that there. And it's like, okay, like.
See, and they're paying homage, and they're flipping it and sampling it into something brand new, and I don't know, I just. It's different to me. Like, if you do it right, then it's going to be different. Like, you're not just ripping off someone's song word for word and trying to get profit from it.
Because I'm over here sweating because I've been doing a lot of Disney samples.
Oh, Disney's a whole other.
I feel like Disney's going to be coming for me.
I feel like, oh, legally you can use it, but we're going to find out where you sleep at night. You know?
There's honestly no connection between the original song and this one. But we're coming for you.
I'll do it again. But, yeah. I don't know. I feel sampling is something a lot different. You're not stealing. You're paying homage. You're basically referencing something and getting inspired by that thing and making it your own.
Yeah, not only that, but like even just like I said, like using samples, you can just be taking something specifically for the tone that it's making. Like you're not even
– And creating an instrument off of it.
And creating an instrument based off a tone that you like.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, the whole Travis Scott thing. I feel like that whole Astroworld album was just him paying multiple homages to like the old. And also if you want to – pick people apart like Drake, I feel like his entire not talking about like his alleged ghost writers or whatever, but like a lot of his flows are like old, like 90s, like mid late 90s, like Project Pat, like 36 Mafia sort of like flows, you know. And you don't see people like, oh, he's stealing them, like no, like they're you're inspired by the old. You're always going to be inspired by the old. Even like Beatles, they straight up did covers and put it on their albums and profit.
Yeah.
And this was before, like, royalties and stuff. And they're just doing it, you know? And we don't consider the Beatles, like, ripoffs. Like, no, like, they created some fantastic music. And we've seen their roots and we've seen the music that they created.
Another thing is, like, Led Zeppelin, like, talking about, like, oh, a Stairway to Heaven stolen. It's like.
Like
it's
even,
not really stolen.
Even if it's like inspired by something and it's something new, and if it's going to get someone to resonate with that version, it's art, you know?
My biggest thing is, especially when it comes to music, there's only so many chords. There's only so many notes.
That is true.
Eventually, you're going to play everything that's been played. And
I think this one guy like had played three chords and he played like 16 different songs off those three chords.
Yeah.
And don't even get me started on country music.
Oh, yeah, I won't.
All right, good.
We just won't go there.
We won't go there playing the same stuff all the time. But, yeah, so hopefully you'll come from this podcast learning a little more about lo-fi hip-hop. If you never heard of it, now you can tell your friends, hey, you heard of that lo-fi hip-hop? Or you go home and
buy some software. You can do it, too.
Yeah, exactly. Look it up. Buy some software, some DJ equipment. You can become a producer yourself. Maybe you'll make a lot of money doing what you love. And
if not, it's a wonderful hobby.
Wonderful genre. If you guys follow anything that I say today, I want you to do this. I want you to grab your favorite liqueur, or if you're too young for alcohol,
your favorite juice.
Go to like an area like that makes you feel calm, like look outside at the birds, maybe put up your like portable speaker. Play some lo-fi hip-hop, some New Jabs, some Evie, you know, some Claro, and just, like, vibe out with it. Read a book or just live, you know, like, just vibe out to the music. But that wraps things up for Region Nerd Alert. I want to thank Olatho for joining me.
Thank you for having me, sir.
No problem. Follow him on SoundCloud. That's Olatho, O-L-A-T-H-O-E, or YouTube, just type in Subsolid Media, Olatho, or just Subsolid Media. Check out some of the other stuff that he's doing. And I want to thank you again. And follow me on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/JoeyNerdAlert, to see all my full episodes. And hopefully you'll hear me on 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio, WLPR FM, Lowell. And yeah, you guys have a great day and a great night.
We'll see you next time.
See you next time.